Welcome, dog moms and dads, to our show where we discuss the everyday joys and challenges of pet parenting. I'm your host, Jen.
And I'm Ashley.
And this is the Dog Mom Podcast presented by Zippy Paws.
How can we repeat that every time we record? I feel like we should become more efficient and just record the best one and just add it in, right?
That's true. Maybe we should think about doing that. I guess this is why we're kind of, you know, we're on this tier of podcasters.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm really just stalling. I've been trying to think of how to intro this podcast. Probably since what we're going to talk about happened, I feel like, but the podcast that we've been dreading, I'm going to try to set you up for success, but I think I'm just going to kind of let you say what you need to say. So for all of our listeners, Jen lost her golden retriever, Birdie, at the end of last year, the middle to end of last year, I would say in the fall, to kidney disease. And again, I'm not going to go into too much detail. I'll let you share the story. I think it's a poignant story. And as with everything with Birdie, there are, you know, lots of fun points, and I'm sure we'll smile as we remember her. But so we'll definitely be a little bit of a sadder podcast today. I will say, if we're adding a trigger warning for anybody, if you're having a bad day, maybe come back to this one, right?
Yeah. I mean, if you want a good cry, I mean, we're here for you. So I guess to tell Birdie's story, I feel like we should go back to the beginning of like when we decided to bring Birdie home. And just kind of like tell like her whole story and go from there, I guess. So I think I may have told this story before, but we got Birdie from a breeder local in Hemet, California, because we were doing a brand video and we wanted puppies. So my videographer reached out to a couple of local breeders for us to get access to puppies, and you know, we had success with one litter. And you know, as we went to the breeder's home to film the video, I fell in love with all of her puppies. And you know, I'm like a huge golden retriever fan, so I mean, maybe I did the video so I could get a puppy. I don't know.
I was going to say, I didn't want to say that, but we did a video, so I had to get a puppy.
Yeah, I mean, we were there, and they got attached to me, so what could I have done? I mean, could I just say no?
Yeah, no one says no to golden retriever puppies.
Yeah, they're the cutest. Yeah, so you know, when I was there, I didn't actually get a puppy from the litter that we did the videos on. So I asked for another litter. She's half English cream and half American, and she had like the cutest curls on her back. And at one point when we were shooting the video, there were like three 9-week-old puppies in my house. So, I mean, that was chaos, and I remember that. Actually, that really prepared me for having the boys.
For having
kids.
Yeah,
it was crazy. Everybody needed to pee like every three, like hour and a half. So that was fun. That was a fun 48 hours. And so that was in, so she was born January 22nd of 2019. And the first time that we noticed that something was wrong was the day that my then fiance, now husband, went on his bachelor's party. So he had, you know, a bunch of his friends over, and then they left that day to go on a cruise. And I went with the boys to grab lunch, and that was the first time that we kind of like left her alone in her crate since she came home maybe like 3 months prior. So it was kind of like the first test where we left her at home by herself for, you know, two, three hours. And, you know, we've been working with her on her crate training, which was really, really difficult because she always wanted to be by us. So I'm like, this is a big test. You know, you're doing great. You've proven to us like you can stay in it for an hour and a half at a time. This is the big test. And so we went to brunch and they left for their trip. And I came home alone and I entered the door and I was like, there's something immediately wrong because her crate, and she had a big crate, you know, for a full-size golden retriever, and it was completely soaked. Like, you know how crates have like the little crate pan? Like, yeah. The drool was overflowing that pan onto like the wood floors. So of course I immediately panicked and took her to the emergency vet. It was a holiday, I remember, July 4th. So not that many vets were on staff. Waited for a long, long time. And they didn't really tell me anything. They just said, oh, maybe she got into something toxic. And maybe she ate some. I feel like the first question they asked me was, did she get into any chocolates? And I was like, no. And they said, what about cocaine or meth? And I'm like,
okay. You have this line around the house, clearly.
Yeah. Clearly. So that was just like, it threw me off. And I said, no, we don't really have that easily accessible in our house. You know, it could have been plants, you know, toxic plants, or toxic flowers, or something like that. And I said, I don't know. She was in her crate for maybe 3 hours or so, and I don't think that she ate anything prior to that either. So we just had no answers. I think we came home with some medication just to help her feel better, and that was that. That was when she was maybe 5 months, five or six months. So that was like our first kind of like dipping our toes into kind of like the whole situation. We had no answers. We didn't know what was going wrong. So we thought maybe she ate something on her walk like that morning or something like that, and, you know, had a little toxic reaction. So everything was fine. She was like super healthy until next year. So on the day of my birthday, in May 2020, this was just like 2 months after the pandemic started, you know, we didn't go out at all. We decided to go out for dinner for the first time since the pandemic started. And, you know, we made a reservation somewhere, you know, safe, and we wore a mask, and we were like, okay, Birdie, like, stay home and, you know, we'll be back. So we went to dinner, came back, had a great time, and she seemed really weird. She just seemed like she needed extra attention from us, which is like, I mean, that's almost impossible because she always wanted attention. And for her to want extra attention, that was like, I mean, you could imagine how needy she was. You know, my husband and I were thinking, like, should we bring her into the vet, or like, what should we do with her, right? It was like 10, 11 p.m. And, you know, I was like, okay, maybe we just go to bed and see how she is in the morning, you know. And you know that I'm the more like, okay, let's wait kind of person.
I was saying that I'm the one that's like, just take her.
Yeah. You're the person who is like already on the way to the vet. And I'm like, I think they're okay. I mean, they like threw up 3 times, but like, I mean, they're not throwing up right now, so I think they're fine. So I was kind of like, okay, let's just wait. And you know, like at some point in the night, maybe like 11:30 or so, Nick was like, okay, I'm calling it, like, we're taking her. So we took her to the emergency vet, and as soon as we got there, she started shaking, and she wouldn't stop. So, you know, like, my old dog, JJ, also had seizures, so it was kind of reminiscent of that, where they just can't stop shaking. So at the vet, they took her overnight, and they ran, you know, x-rays, ultrasounds, and to see what was going on. And after the ultrasound came back the next day, and the blood test and everything, they told us that she had, she was in stage 4 renal failure, which for her case, it is congenital, meaning that she was either born with it, or she had some episode or something happened when she was still a puppy, so that her left kidney could not develop. So her left kidney was the size of, a kidney bean, and her right one was enlarged, or was it the other way around? One of them is super small, and one of them was enlarged because it was working overtime to filter out all the toxins. So she stayed at the vet for 4 days on fluids and for monitoring, and the prognosis wasn't good, and the vet told us that we should make preparations for, you know, end stage care. And I don't know, it's just like, we just couldn't not accept that for some reason. I feel like yeah. she was like a year and a half, not even a year and a half old. And she, prior to this, she was super healthy, nothing like visibly wrong with her. So it was just such a shock to us, and we just were not prepared to do that. And then even when we went to go visit her at the hospital, she was like, super energetic, and you know how she is, like just acting like nothing's wrong. And we brought her favorite like sick toy, which is like the latex tequila. Like, of course she will like the tequila out of like all the other bottles. So she would squeak it if she was like not feeling well. So yeah, and so when we came home, Nick was like, he just like really dove into caring for her and looking for internal medicine specialists. I think we made appointments with like 6 of the best IMSs all over LA, and it was crazy. They had like 8-month waiting lists. It was like middle [S2] Yeah. [S1] Of the pandemic, and it was crazy. So after, you know, shopping around for a couple of IMSs, we found one that, you know, we worked with for almost 2 years, a year and a half on Birdie. And, you know, we completely changed her diet. So we cooked for her, and she needed fluids, subcutaneous fluids. So we would use a needle, poke it under her skin, and give her fluids 2 to 3 times a week. At the end, it was every day. So it was just like a lot of care. You know, she can't have, I feel like I've like already tried to put this out of my mind about like what she could have and couldn't have and all that stuff. So it was a huge list. And we also had to make sure, like, you know, we couldn't have foods that it was hard for her kidneys to process and all that stuff. So it was a lot. And my husband really, really like took it upon himself to work really hard on keeping her alive. After that, she lived, I think, almost 16 months. So she passed, September 14th of 2022. So about 16 months after her diagnosis. And I don't know. Should we talk about what happened at the end? It was just
cute. I mean, it's ultimately what you feel comfortable with, right? It's, I would say,
yeah,
share as much as you want. It's a personal experience. I wasn't physically there with you. I feel like I maybe mentally was there a little bit. And it, like, I know it wasn't easy for you. It had to have been terrible for you. It wasn't easy for me, but you can share as much or as little as you want. I don't think our listeners care. Yeah. And
I'm just trying to think of like everything that happened. You know, I think it was middle of August when she had like another episode, kind of like what happened in 2020, where she was like shaking. So we took her to the emergency vet again. And oh, you know what? I think we took her to her IMS. So I drove her to Glendora. I got a last minute appointment with her because I told her that, you know, Birdie wasn't doing well. So she told me to come in, and that day I was the only person available. Usually my husband does all the pet vet appointments and everything. So that day I had to take her, and I haven't really taken her to a vet appointment in a while. So I didn't really know what to expect. And so I brought her in, I waited around for her, and they took her vitals, they took her blood, and you know, the whole works. And basically, you know, like her, prior to this, her care was like maybe every 6 weeks or so she would go in to see her vet and do all this, and just to monitor her, you know, creatinine and BUN levels and make sure that like she's on track. Like if we're, you know, it's elevated, we take more medicine and all that stuff. So like she went in, and it was getting progressively worse for maybe like 2 months prior to this. So we knew, like, we were worried about, you know, what was going on. And then I took her in that day, and her numbers were like off the charts. But like that didn't really even it just didn't register with me, just because like her numbers have been off the charts for like months. So yeah, it wasn't like super alarming to me, right? Because she's lived with numbers off the charts for over a year, you know, so it wasn't like super alarming to me. But when I went to go pick her up, and the doctor called me, she said, basically you have to prepare for end stage. And I don't know, it was crazy, because usually my husband shields me from a lot of like the bad news, and he kind of like does most of the care himself. So, you know, that was like the day that it hit me that, like, you know, she's not going to make it too much longer. But like, I look at her and I'm like, I refuse to believe that this dog is going to pass away. Like, I can't. Like, if you know her, yeah, like, you know that she's super bubbly, and she doesn't like look like she's in pain. So, you know, I went home and I talked to my husband, obviously, and then we just ramped up, you know, her care. We made sure she was eating like homemade food, and, you know, she got all her medication, and we upped her fluids based on, you know, the doctor's advice and everything. And I think it was a few weeks, 2 weeks after that, she lived like really well for 2 weeks. We brought her her little kiddie pool so she could, you know, go swimming. So she had fun, and she wasn't in pain or anything. And I think 2 weeks after that was when she had another episode, and we brought her into, at that time it was like we could not get into any emergency vet. Like everywhere was like, oh, we'll just send you a list of other emergency vets in the area. I'm like, we've called all of them.
Yeah.
They don't have space for us. Or it's like an 8-hour wait or something, you know? And it was crazy. And I'm sure you've had experience too with like the emergency vets. Like they're always busy.
And it's frustrating because it's probably with people like me who take their dogs to the vet for absolutely everything. I don't take them to the emergency vet for everything, but it's just like a human emergency room system where You know, if you have a cold, you probably shouldn't be at the emergency room. Just like if your dog, you know, has a non-life-threatening emergency, especially that you can see, because sometimes emergencies we don't know about. But if your dog has a non-life-threatening emergency, take them to your regular vet. Pay the extra, get that urgent care appointment. There are tiers, right? So then when you've got people, you've got dogs like Bird who needed to get in, you've got this runaround. It's like that's a pet peeve. That's a pet peeve of mine. I'm going to refrain because I'm going to go down a long rabbit hole.
I know. I'm like, I could go down that rabbit hole too because, you know, to be fair, a lot of regular vets, their waiting period is long as well. So if your dog was like having some issues, like, you know, Pepper just had worms. Well, we'll put a pin on Pepper. We'll come back to Pepper. Let's finish this story. We were trying to find emergency vet for Birdie, and everywhere was like so full, and we finally got one that we like know all of like the emergency vets so well in the area. It's insane how much like you're just, you know, thrown into that world. But she went there and she stayed a few days, and so they kind of released her to us after a few days in the hospital and said, you need to make an appointment for in-home euthanization. And I was like, you know, we just did not want to. I mean, it sounds really selfish, but I feel like she was still not at the end. You know what I mean? Like, she wasn't, like, telling us that, like, it was the end for her. But, I mean, like, looking at her numbers, like, I'm sure the vets were like, this is unsustainable. So we kind of gave her, I mean, the details are really, really fuzzy to me right now. But we kept her at home for a few more days. And then we brought her back. And the vets there were, I don't know if like I shouldn't even talk about this.
I was going to say, you can talk about it, but we might need to cut it.
Yeah. Right? I don't know. We'll see. But I mean, like, they were like upset at us that we didn't make an appointment to put her down.
Yeah.
So I mean, I can see it from the vet's point of view, but also from like the dog parents' kind of point of view. Like, it just like, you know how people are like at the end, they say, oh, you'll know at the end when it's the end.
Yeah.
And we're like very in tune, especially Nick is like very in tune with like our kids, our pets, you know, like he knows what they're feeling and he can sense when things are wrong. And he always told me that like, it's not her time. And she wasn't acting like she was, you know, in pain or anything. So so then we told them that we made an appointment. So we were able to bring her home, and we actually made the appointment for the day after. And she had a last 24 hours with us, and we got an in-home appointment so she could be at home surrounded by like us and like the boys. We did it upstairs, and you know, we had Kramer with us too, so Kramer could like see and like know what was going on. And yeah, and that was September 14th of 2022, so it's been almost 6 months without Birdie. So
it's crazy that it's been that long. It feels like it was yesterday.
Yeah. For me, I think it feels like it was a long time ago, because I feel like, you know, like a lot of time has passed between like what happened and now. So like
for me, a lot going on.
Yeah, it feels like a long time ago. But also it feels like yesterday when she was like right here, you know. So it's just the two sides of the same coin, like so many feelings and a lot of things happened in my life between then. Like I moved, so it was like 2 weeks after Birdie passed, I moved houses, so of course we had to like pack up and do all that stuff, and like I think it kind of helped me like process it, because I feel like going back to the house where like Birdie was, you know, grew up in and everything, it would just be like too difficult to like not see her. When I feel like moving kind of helped me process it, because I would have been like seeing, oh, that's where Birdie used to like to sleep, and like, you know, yeah. If I wake up, then I can see Birdie come around the corner and like things like that. That would like make me miss her. And, you know, moving, it kind of like helped me stay super, super busy. And, you know, it's a whole new house. She hasn't been here. So I mean, I don't see her at every corner.
Yeah, cognitively, if that makes sense. Your brain isn't incorporating memories of her because it doesn't have that visual. That's not scientific explanation, but that's how what I would imagine.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it helps, but also it was like super difficult at the same time. I mean, I went back to the house a few times, of course, and it's just like, oh, Bert, that's like Birdie's favorite. Like, she loved to like run around here. She liked to like sun, you know, and all that stuff. So it's just kind of difficult to go back to the house, you know, but
that's how I felt with Stella too. Yeah. When going back home after we said goodbye to Stella was just the worst. And we talked about it in Stella's episode so long ago, but my family went home and cleared her stuff out, didn't get rid of it, but cleared it out, because I knew, like, I go, if I'm going to have to look at these things, I'm not going to be able to function. So, yeah. So I think I can see why moving would be a good distraction. But I feel like, feel like it's tricked you into, I don't want to say not grieving, but do you feel like it changed your grieving process?
I mean, I didn't really have a choice that this happened, you know, in this order. I think it was like for the better, I think, looking back, but it's definitely changed the process, because, you know, like also maybe like the whole thing of, you know, having kids now and just, you know, my focus is on them, and like, it's just, I have so much going on that like, I couldn't really like think about it too much. Yeah. I mean, we kind of grieved like after we moved, really, because we were just kind of like in the state of like survival, which is what I do constantly every day, is just surviving and making it to the end of the day, and, you know, going to, for the next, prepping for the next day. It's like literally just survival.
Stop it. She's joking. She's joking about every day being a survival. It's not true.
It's true. It's like, if you see my boys throwing tantrums every day, you're like, okay, I just need to get through this. I just need to get through lunchtime. I just need to get through nap time. I just need to get through like dinner time. And
that's called, you know, being a mom. That's not like a send help, I can't get through the day type of situation.
Okay. Yeah. I don't need help. I'm just surviving.
People are sending wellness checks to your house.
They're like, are you okay?
Okay.
It's like the, you know, the survival show, and instead of being out in the, you know, the wilderness and have the elements, it's like my boys. Just send them to my house.
I think they're angels. I'm like, here, try. I have never seen them misbehave.
Yeah, I'm like, try to get them to eat their veggies at dinner time and see if you come out on top.
Oh my gosh.
I was just gonna say, like, this is something that we can discuss. Like, you've lost a dog that had a medical issue as well, you know, and so like for us, we kind of knew like the time was going to come, right? How does that compare to losing a dog to old age, which I have done too, Yeah. But, you know, a while, it's been a few years. And, like, you know, like, and he was 13, so lived a long and pretty long and good life. And yeah. Whereas, like, Birdie was, like, 3.5, you know, and you kind of, like, yeah. It's, like, a different grieving process, I think.
It just seems unfair.
Yeah.
Right? And that's how I felt with Stella. And Stella barely made it to 7. And then, obviously, the last year-ish of her life, year or so, was spent, you know, having her cancer treatment. She didn't necessarily... Hers wasn't, I don't want to say cumbersome, but maybe as involved. I guess it was towards the end. It was just as involved. But it didn't, just like Birdie's, it didn't really change her quality of life. I just felt like she was such a vibrant dog, and she was so good with so many people. She, you know, she did hospital visits, and it just felt unfair. And I feel like, and I haven't experienced losing a dog to old age. I don't even like thinking about it. I've got 3 within ear or eyesight as we speak, but yeah. Even dogs passing of old age seems unfair. I think that's the, and this is what you and I talked about. That's the unfortunate thing is that dogs just don't live as long as we do.
Yeah. And they live so short. So it's like, you're going to have the, I guess, privilege and unfortunateness. Yeah. Of having many dogs in your lifetime, and you know, it's just unfair. Like, I think about it in terms of, like, you know, like Birdie for sure was robbed of at least 10 years of her life. You know, she could have easily lived to 12 or 13, you know, and she had a great quality life up until the very, very end.
Yeah, she, you know, absolutely did.
Yeah, and it just seems like super unfair that she doesn't get to enjoy like 10 more years of that. And like, that's the hardest part, I think, is like, she's so young, and she, like, just because of circumstances, like, why did, you know, she get that? And, you know, I am also close to one of the moms of another dog in her litter, her brother. So, I mean, I don't hold any, like, bad feelings toward her or her brother, but it's like, how come he is thriving and living and my dog can't? I mean, of course, it's, like, nothing, like, we can do about it. It was just, like, we picked her. But it just seems like unfair, like the universe is unfair, right?
Yeah.
Like,
it's just, I was gonna say, yeah, like, it doesn't have to be animosity towards her litter or whoever chose her in that litter, but I think it's completely just, and I think it's fair to say that it's unfair, and that, you know, you watch a dog that looks just like Birdie, came from the same parents as Birdie, thrive and live that long life. I think anyone listening to this podcast would be lying to themselves if they said they felt differently, and that's okay. I obviously, there's a balance between it, but I think it's important to talk about, like, yeah, it is, it's just freaking unfair. The bottom line is that it's just, it's not fair.
Mm-hmm. And I love seeing, like, pictures of him, like, he's so cute and he looks exactly like Birdie, just bigger, you know, and like, they have the exact same, like, facial features, and like their videos, like, they look just like so similar, you know.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just it is unfair, and like, in terms of, like, why do dogs have to suffer? And, you know, and when we were researching about, like, care for, you know, dogs with kidney disease, it's like, we as humans, we have dialysis, and that prolongs the life of a lot of you know, patients who do have kidney disease, and why don't we have that for dogs? And we see some medical journals that say that they are working on those with dogs, but, you know, it's still a ways out, and it's not super, you know, cost effective to do something like that. And, you know, hopefully in the coming years, they'll find something that's that will help, you know,
yeah,
parents with dogs that have renal disease. It's just wish there were more to help, I guess.
Yeah, and everything is a learning process that has come from many unfair situations prior. That's kind of how I think of Stella and the clinical trials that she did for a drug that's now widely available for canine lymphoma. And I feel the same way. I look at dogs that are able to get it, and I'm so happy. And it's not a personal animosity, but on the flip side of that, sorry, Grant, you're going to have to edit that one out. But it's just, why did I have a dog that was in this specific time frame where if she had just made it to 1 or 2 years later, it would have been a totally different situation. And it is. It's kind of like one of those what the F moments where it's like, God.
Yeah.
But I still want to hear.
But you never know, right? So, like, you can think, what if, and, like, it's unfair. But ultimately, it's, like, the cards that we were dealt with. So, I mean.
Which still suck. But for the years that you had her, Birdie was a pretty incredible dog. I see things that make me think of her all the time still. It's usually when I'm looking at Bjorn because I think of them as puppies, which is one of my favorite memories. And I'm already getting emotional. So apparently I'm not the person to to be doing this or be suggesting it. But Bjorn still will not play with another dog the way that he played with Birdie to this day. So for those of you who don't know, they grew up together. So Birdie was maybe 2 months behind Bjorn, and they would come. This was back before we were working from home, and they would go into the office together. And oh my God, it was like an Oreo tornado, because Bjorn was so dark and Birdie was so bright white. And they would go nuts in the cutest way. Like, they were never aggressive. They were never mean to each other, but they would just gnaw at each other's faces to the point where you and I would just look at them like, is this even enjoyable for you?
Yeah. Like, I'm like, are you actually having fun? Or like, what is going on? Are you hurting each other? Like, if you're hurt, like, tap out and I'll like just say something and then we'll come and save like either of you. But yeah, they were so cute together.
They would go nuts. And yeah, like Birdie was one of my favorites of all time. I think I spoiled her too much, but
yeah.
Sorry. I wasn't like, of all the things.
Yeah. I mean, like, she was just so funny. Like, she, there's just so many things. I can't even think of like one specific thing, but she liked to like sleep on my pillow. Like I sleep with two pillows, and she would like sleep on the one like up top. It was her roost, because she, you know, she's, we make a lot of like bird related you know, jokes, because her name is just so funny. We called her Bird Turd when she was little, because she was just such turd, didn't listen to anything when she was like really young. But she will like sleep up here in her roost, and her favorite toy was a rock that we called the egg. So she loves the rock. You know, her mom owns a company that does dog toys. But I mean, she still loved dog toys. She loved our toys, and she loved the minis. Especially like the cookie, the aliens with all the legs were chewed off, but I mean, it's just like a stump. But she loved that, and she loved, we had like a Santa cheeky chum, and then like the Santa had like little feet, like with boots, like black boot, and she chewed off the Santa boot, and then that boot, which was like, I don't know, half an inch, was like her toy for so long. And so other than that, her favorite toy was a rock that she babied for years, which was like, I'm like, I don't, why? Like, why? And she would splute, and it was like the cutest. So we had a bed, and then we had like a dog bed in front of it. So sometimes she'd play with her toy. She would sploot, and she'll like slowly go over the top of the bed onto her little bed, and then her like back legs would just be fully splooted, and you just see like it slowly, slowly disappearing down our bed. Oh my gosh.
I missed the chomping too.
The chomping. She had a soft bite. For sure. Something that I miss very much, soft bite. And I think like the biggest, you know, memory that I have with her was when it was like October of 2020 when we took Kramer and Birdie on a cross-country, you know, road trip in an RV to visit my in-laws family in Wisconsin. And we drove through like so many cool places. You know, we went to like the Badlands, we went to Monument Valley, we went to like Bryce Canyon and, you know, Yellowstone. All these like cool places that a lot of people don't even get to visit, and she visited all those like amazing landmarks, and we like boondocked half the time, so we were like super off the grid. We would wake up and it was like incredible views, and like, you know, that was a fun time because we didn't know she was sick then, so yeah. We kind of like lived to the fullest, I guess. We weren't like, oh, like being careful or anything. We're just like, let's just do it, you know, let's just go crazy. And that was really fun. And I remember like we were going through like this road in Idaho, and we were like going down these mountain roads, and it was pretty steep. And then Birdie would she would like get on our lap because she was scared, so we had to hold her through like 30 miles of going like 10 miles an hour down those like steep roads. So good memories.
She had a good life until she was sick, and even throughout being sick she was loved and cared for, and I truly believe that she crossed the rainbow bridge knowing how loved she was,
for sure. Yeah, I mean, okay, another grievance that I have is with the in-home vet visit at the end. I'm like, okay, there's like much to be desired in this industry as well.
Really?
Yeah, it was kind of, you know, you don't really think about it, but finding somebody to like do that at the end, it's already like a horrific process that you have to like make these preparations, but like, and then somebody coming and, you know, chit-chatting with you about the weather and stuff. I'm like, I'm just like,
oh my God,
shut up. Like, don't even say anything. Like, you can see, like, we're
grieving.
Super upset about it. Grieving, yeah. And, like, preparing. Like, we don't want this to happen. And then you're like, I don't know.
Oh, my God.
I guess they're
terrible.
Just trying to lighten the mood and, like, say all these, like, things. I don't know. I'm just like, just come and do your job and just get the hell out.
Yeah, that makes me so sad because I know I spoke to this, like I felt like Stella's wasn't obviously at home, but we were very lucky in the oncologist and vet team that we had with her, and we took her to the same place, but it's seemingly very different than what you went through. It was horrific and emotional, but it was also very comforting in a way, at least for what Stella had gone through and the people that were surrounded by had such humanity, such compassion, and it makes a difference. So, I mean, I don't want to make a learning experience out of that, but for people listening, that is a learning experience, right? Like,
yeah,
vet those people before it, have an idea, right? They always say to have a plan, and nobody wants to. And I think in your situation, there wasn't time for that. But the fact that you have to do that is infuriating.
Yeah, and like I get it, you know. I just wish they had like more, like better bedside manner than that.
I don't get it. You don't have to get it. You don't have to make excuses for them. The guy sucked.
Like, well, it was a lady, but yeah.
The girl sucked.
The whole process was, so she came in with her assistant to do it, and then we had to wait for somebody else from the crematorium. I'm not sure how to, he's from, and he came to pick up her body, and it wasn't like too long of a wait, but I didn't know that was the process. And maybe there are some people who do it and they pick up, like they'll transport her. But for our instance, it was somebody else. So somebody else came and waited for like everything to be ready. And then he took her to get cremated. And okay, another bad experience of like people are like, what is going on? But like the guy came and was like making a chit chat with us when my husband went to go get his wallet inside the house, because he was like, oh, I'll just take payment right here. So of course he went to go get his wallet, and then he was like, and this is like something that's infuriating, you're gonna get super mad, but he was like, oh, so where are you from? And I was like, oh no, not this question, and not while like my beloved dog is like laying in a bag in your trunk.
Like I'm not what part of this. LA are you? What part of LA are you from?
You know what they want to know. It's like they're like, oh, where are you from? Like, so I grew up in LA, so you know.
But local. Where are you from?
He's like, oh, so like, where are your parents from? And I'm like,
he okay, did not. Well, he
yes,
did.
He did.
Did you leave? Did you leave a Yelp review for this person?
No, like Nick found him, so, or like he came with like the vet that did the euthanasia. Yeah, so he was like, she brought him basically, so we
I'm really glad at this point that people don't watch the YouTube versions of these, because I am so mad. I can't even hide the RBF that is happening in the viewfinder right now. What
it was in the hell? Rough. Yeah, and I didn't even tell Nick. I was like, you know, and then he came out and he did that, and I was like, did you hear what he said? And he's like, oh, I heard, because the window was open, so he heard like the exchange. But like, I mean, obviously we were like bawling at that point, like, so it's like,
yeah,
we didn't really want to get into it, like, but I'm have, like, not now, mister, like, not right now, like, I just don't understand why people
like just show
need to do that.
Show some compassion. I think that, yeah, the decorum, and I'd be interested to hear, obviously nobody wants to relive these experiences, but to hear from you guys listening, if that's something that happens frequently. I've gone through it once, and again, now I just feel very, very lucky. But is that something that happens? Do we need to start looking into euthanasia reform? Because that, you always hear the horror stories of the people who aren't brave enough, you know, to walk that final path with their dogs, and who can't do it, and how they shouldn't be alone. And obviously 100% should be the case. But
yeah,
on the flip side is for the people who are with their babies until the end, don't make small talk. I don't want to talk about the weather. I don't want to talk about whatever stupid questions you have to ask me. Like,
I'm like, I want to get into this whole exchange about like, you know, being respectful of people and like being an Asian American woman, you know, living in America. Like, I don't want to get into that while my dog just passed away.
And forever.
Like, yes, ever, but especially not right now. And you know, I have like the answers that I usually give, and you know, at the point I was like, I can't even remember exactly what I even said, but you know, probably said something like to so he doesn't keep going. But I mean, that was our experience. So I mean, I'm happy that we were there for Birdie at her final moments, because Nick held her like in his arms and told her she was okay. So I mean, she was well taken care of until the end. So crazy stories. I'm like,
stop, I'm so annoyed now. Like, I don't even. I have to read this ending bit, and now I'm just mad, and it's gonna sound mad. Yeah. To Miss Bird, who's probably running around somewhere, wherever they go, chomping on rocks.
Yeah, chomping on rocks. She, like, cracked a tooth, too, on a rock. And we had to get her whole tooth fixed. Like, she had a chrome tooth, which was really cool. So,
Terminator Bird.
She is, yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing your story. There are happy outcomes in your life since that we'll talk about next time.
I don't know if I would call them happy, but they are what they are.
They're happy. They're happy, and I think that'll be a good story about what happens after you lose one of your heart dogs, right? And you can share your experience, and I can share mine kind of as it relates to, I mean, we've talked about Bjorn after Stella, but we'll have good conversations. Yeah, until then, I'm still mad, so just bear with me. If you want to boop that follow button, you can find us on Instagram and Facebook at Dog Mom Podcast. And our website at www.zippypaws.com/dogmompodcast. And if you are an at-home euthanasia person who works in the area and are listening to this and had anything to do with this, so help me. You can find me on my personal Instagram and we'll handle that. We'll handle that privately. Or, you know, you want to DM me and have lunch and explain to me why you thought it was necessary to talk about the weather, or why the person who picked up poor Bird felt necessary to talk about people's ethnicities. We can have that conversation too. I digress. Dog Mom Podcast on all socials and zippypaws.com. And we'll talk to you guys next time. Bye.